Job chapter 25, and our text is the verse 4, and the question that is asked therein. How then can man be justified with God? How then can man be justified with God? This is the question I want to consider tonight. This is the very question that was being asked and was being answered at the time of the Great Reformation 500 years ago. And so we could entitle our message tonight, The Great Question of the Protestant Reformation. How can man be justified with God? This question lies at the heart of the Reformation. Justified with God, or justified, or justification, is the one subject that permeates that movement. And so Luther battled with this question himself. How can man be justified with God? He battled with it especially from that time that he was in the terrible thunderstorm, and he thought he was going to die, and he made a vow and promised to become a monk in July 1505. And ever since he became an Augustinian monk, he worked and he labored and he prayed and he toiled to be right with God, to be justified, to be righteous in his sight. And so this was the question that every day of those laborious years that he was searching for God, this question he asked. And it was this question too that the Council of Trent, that the Roman Catholic Church set up in 1543, it was this council that had to grapple with this question. And it was the first thing on their agenda, the question of how a man is justified with God. And so they had to answer the Protestants, and they had to come up with an answer that would answer the Protestants, and they dealt with this very question. So this question really lies at the heart of the Reformation, and it all swings on the right answer to it. What's the right answer to this question? So Luther called this question the chief question. He called the matter of justification the chiefest matter of the Protestant Reformation. And he was right. He said, if the article of justification be once lost, then is all true Christian doctrine lost. So as I said, this is the very question that the Reformed creeds asked, and the very question that the Roman Catholic Church asked itself to at the Council of Trent, but both came up with different answers. So you see, Luther discovered the answer one day as he was studying the Word of God. He had been studying the Psalms and the Epistle to the Romans, and he lectured on these epistles as an Augustinian monk. And he discovered the answer, and he believed in Jesus Christ and found peace with God. But the question wasn't only asked and answered in Luther's day. As we see in our text, it was even being asked in Job's day. In fact, it's a question that's always been asked. It's always been asked since the Garden of Eden. From the very day we sinned in our father Adam, this is the question that conscience asks. How can I be right with God? How can I be justified and declared righteous as if I had never sinned, and be accepted by God and accepted by his law and accepted by his justice? How can it be? So Adam must have asked it. Eve must have asked it. Every conscience asks it. Maybe not in those clear words, but they do, because men know they're not right with God, and they know they're sinners, and they want to know how they can be, how they can get peace, How they can get acceptance. How they won't feel condemned anymore. And so it's a question the conscience asks. Carefully notice too that it does not say a man. How can a man be justified with God? But it says, how can man? That is, mankind, every sinner, for we're all sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And how can every man and any man and mankind be justified with God? So it's a question the whole human race asks, or they should be asking it. And at the Protestant Reformation, it was being asked quite a bit. And so notice the question is not, what is justification? That's not the question. Everybody knew what justification was. It was being right with God. It was being uncondemned. It was being as if you have no sin, be accepted by Him, being righteous in the eyes of God's law, so that when you come into God's law, God has to declare you righteous, you're justified, there's no condemnation against you, there's no accusation against you, you're clear, you're justified. Everybody knew what it meant. Maybe everybody doesn't know what it means today. But in those days, everybody knew what justification meant, especially at the time of the Reformation. The question is not about what is justification. Luther knew what it was. Rome knew what it was. Every man in the street knew what it was. The question was not about what it is. The question was about how to get it. That was the question. How can a man be justified with God? That was the question. How can a man be justified? And so Luther, as I said, battled with this, and he found the answer, and he found the answer in the Bible, in God's holy word, especially in Romans and in the Psalms. God showed him, we believe. Now, Rome didn't like the answer, he discovered. And so, as I say, the Council of Trent rejected the Protestant answer to this question, and they formulated a contrary answer, a different answer altogether. And they have formulated it in a concrete decree of Rome. So we differ with the Church of Rome completely, and always shall, on this heart doctrine of the Word of God. This is a question we want to answer tonight. It's a question every sinner needs to ask and to find the answer to. And the gospel has the answer to it. And Luther discovered that. And we have to say that. He discovered it. It wasn't new. He didn't make it up. He didn't formulate the answer to this question. No, he discovered the answer from the Bible, from the Scriptures alone. And that's why that became such an important keynote of the Reformation trumpet. The Bible alone. The Bible alone gives us the answer. The Bible alone tells us how to be right with God. Only the Scriptures tell us. And so he found the answer in the Word of God. And that doctrine made him not only to have peace with God, but it made him a champion of the gospel. It made him an evangelist to Germany, and it made him bring the Bible to his people. Well, how does the Bible answer this question then? How can man be justified with God? That's what we want to look at tonight. And to put it briefly, the answer that Martin Luther found, the answer to it negatively, and then the answer to it positively. That's how Paul handled this doctrine, you see. You could write this over as Epistle to the Romans, how can man be justified with God? And the way he handled it was negatively, it's not this way, and then positively, it's this way. That's how Paul handled it, and that's how Luther discovered it, and that's how we're going to deal with it tonight. So, first of all, negatively. Paul stressed the negative. You have this, for example, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, where we read this word, knowing that a man is not justified. Notice the negative. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. There's a negative again. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Three negatives he uses. Three times he's saying negatively, not by the works of the law. No flesh justified by that means. Not by works. And men and women, the Bible is so clear in this. And yet the Council of Trent still somehow wanted to bring works into it. And yet the Bible is so clear on it. Not of works. No flesh is justified by the works of the law. And this is only one verse in Galatians. And it's mentioned in other places in Galatians. And it's mentioned frequently in Romans too. Paul is saying it all the time. Not by works. Now we know the law is summed up in the Ten Commandments. And we know the law is good. And we know the law is holy. And we know that we must keep the law and endeavor so to do. But none of it can make us right with God. None of it can justify us. It shows us our sin. It condemns us. It makes us feel we're sinners. It doesn't and it can't make us right with God. We can't be right with God by the works of the law. It's emphasized again and again in this negative fashion. Now, why is the Bible always saying that? Because that's the way man wants to be right with God. He wants to do something. He wants to feel accepted, and he wants to be able to do something, whatever it is he wants to do, but it has to be something he has to do to be right with God. It must be by work somehow or other. There must be some prayer I pray. There must be some deed I do. There must be some action that I carry out to be right with God. It's ingrained in us, because that's the way our conscience works. That's the way our conscience thinks, and it's ingrained in us to do, to be right. And that's why Paul is always hammering it home. I think Luther knew this more than most, because he worked his fingers to the bones, if I may use that expression, in this matter of being right with God. He tortured himself, he fasted, he prayed, he nearly died in his monastery in the pursuit to be right with God. And so Luther himself said, this negative of Paul has to be constantly hammered into our heads. That's his expression. It has to be hammered into our heads. Every day. All the time. That's the way he put it. And it's true. Even as true Christians, we have to constantly remind ourselves of this. And we must never cease to repeat it. Because we all have something that wants to revert back to this. I must do something to have peace with God. And so, Romans 3, verse 20 says the same thing. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh, no man be justified in God's sight. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves, not of works. There's a negative again, not of works. And to Titus, which is really a pastoral epistle, but he's still hammering it home to Titus so that he'll never miss that keynote of his ministry when he preaches to the islanders there at Crete. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. So constantly, The Bible emphasizes this negative. And the Protestant Reformation came very strongly on the side of the Apostle Paul. It was a Pauline biblical reformation on the side of the biblical doctrine of justification. And sadly, the Council of Trent took the opposite line. It failed to stand where the apostles stood. We have to say it. The Church of Rome failed to stand with the Apostle Paul and with the Bible on this central doctrine. It departed from the New Testament faith, and sadly it brought its adherents into deeper darkness. But of course, the negative is not the answer to the question. We need a positive answer. And there is a positive answer. Thank God for that. There's a positive answer to this question. A man can be justified with God. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. But it can be. Thank God it can be. And that's the gospel. That's where the gospel comes in. A man can be right with the Lord. There is a way. The condemnation can be dealt with. The sin and the guilt can be removed. There is an answer, and the Bible reveals it. The Reformation discovered that answer and published it, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. How then, biblically, did the Reformers answer this question? How can man be justified with God? And in the answer, three things they emphasized. Three things. And those three things we want to emphasize tonight. First of all, they said it was through grace alone. Grace alone. They emphasized grace. The Confession of Faith puts it this way: their justification is only of free grace. That's God's grace. He is gracious. Thank God he's gracious. Or there would be no justification. There would be no salvation whatsoever. If he was all justice, we would perish. But he's not just all justice. He is all justice, but he's not justice only. There's grace. And grace has found a way so that his justice saves sinners. And so it's grace. And grace cannot be merited, because grace is undeserved and it's favor to the undeserving. That's why it's called grace. Mercy and grace. It can't be bought. It can't be worked for. If there's anything that's opposites in the Bible, it's works and merit and grace. You choose one, you reject the other. Not of works. How's it going to happen then? There's only grace. There's only grace left, that's all. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, the Bible talks about. So it can only be through God's gracious favor, through his mercy. There is no other answer. If he's not gracious and merciful, there can be no justification of the sinner. And so it must be of God's grace, or it will never be obtained. You see, the sinner wants to deserve it. Give me time. I will pray, I will pay, I'll turn over a new leaf, I'll improve, I'll do better, I'll be more humble, I'll repent, I'll weep, I'll pay, I'll do good, I will deserve your acceptance. That's what the sinner always wants to do. But it can never be, men and women. It's all filthy rags in his sight. We're sinners, full stop, that's it. We're nothing but sinners. Full stop. If we want what we deserve, it will not be a happy end for us. We need mercy. We don't deserve that. But we need it. And God is merciful. God is gracious. That's why we have a Bible. That's why Christ came into the world. That's why there's salvation. It's of grace. Grace alone was the trumpet blast of the Protestant Reformation. That trumpet had lay buried, but Martin Luther and other reformers found it again. They rediscovered it, and they blasted it. And for 500 years, faithful Protestant churches have continued to say, it's His grace alone that saves us. It's God in His grace that justifieth the ungodly. The sinner needs mercy. You remember the publican and the Pharisee? And the Pharisee was crying up his works, what he did. But the publican, he was beating on his breast and he was saying, be merciful to me, O God. Be gracious. And the Bible says the publican went home justified. He obtained the grace of God. And that's what we need. That's what you need. Grace. The Bible says these things. Romans 3 verse 24, which we read tonight. Being justified freely by His grace. That's the answer. Titus 3 verse 7, being justified by His grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. Grace alone. All of grace, only grace, completely and fully and absolutely grace. This is what the Protestant Reformation discovered and taught. And the Council of Trent opposed. To Timothy, Paul writes concerning the Lord, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Do you see how Paul is always saying this? Not according to our works, according to His grace. And so it's as clear as day in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. Martin Luther said, he who does not receive salvation purely through grace, independently of all good works, certainly will never secure it. And that's so true. And again, at another time he said, yes, dear friend, you must first possess heaven and salvation before you can do good works. Works never merit heaven. Heaven is conferred purely of grace. Grace alone. And then secondly, not only did they answer and say it's through grace that a man can be justified with God. Secondly, they said that it was through Christ alone. Christ alone. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who became incarnate for us sinners, and who died on the cross for our sins. He is the only one who saves us. So the justifying grace of God comes through Him. Through Him alone. There is no justification without a Savior. There is no justification without one who stands in our stead in the court of justice. And through the marvels of His person and His work, carries out this work. He carries out the work, not us. He carries out the work whereby we can be justified freely. It's Christ alone that does that. In the court of God and in the court of heaven, dealing with law and justice on our behalf. Only the Lord Jesus. And so He is the one who brings us this grace. And God sends and provides this Savior and offers us this grace that is in Him in the gospel. So God is justifying sinners through Christ. And in justifying sinners, He does not dispense with His law and justice. He graciously justifies them in a righteous way, and that can only be through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Savior is the only Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ alone. Luther said, we receive absolution. Well, that's just an old word for forgiveness. We receive forgiveness and grace at no cost or labor on our part, but not without cost and labor on the part of Christ. He satisfied, you see, the law. He satisfied the justice. He made the ransom payment that was sufficient. He alone did this. To be declared righteous, there must be a righteousness. And we don't have that righteousness. But God in grace provides it in Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness. The Reformation discovered this. This is what's at the heart. It's not a revolution, a political revolution. That's not at the heart of the Reformation. The Reformation, at the heart of it, lies this truth. How can I be right with God? How can I come to God? How can I know God? How can I be forgiven? Luther said, our salvation must exist not in our righteousness, but in Christ's righteousness. Let his righteousness and grace, not yours, be your refuge, sinner. That's what Luther said. That's just what we preach. That's just the gospel. And the Council of Trent anathematized him. Let him be accursed who preaches such a doctrine, is what they said. But it's in the Bible. And so they put themselves sadly, it's true, but they put themselves against the Word of God and against Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation for us. Justified by his blood. Justified by his blood. And so we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Grace alone, Christ alone. That's what you need, sinner. Seek grace. Where do I find grace? You find it in Jesus Christ. Him alone. There's nobody else. But then there was a third thing that had to be emphasized in the answer to this question. Faith alone. Faith alone. How does the sinner obtain Jesus Christ and this justifying righteousness? How do we come to participate in it, to receive it, to be clothed in it? How do we come to be forgiven and to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ? It's by faith alone, by trust, because that's what the heart of faith is, it's trust. By trust in Jesus Christ. And so Paul emphasized this matter of justification. He said, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's that negative again. He's always throwing it in. Without the deeds of the law. Without works. Faith alone. The Council of Trent want to say, no, works. Works are in there. Faith alone. Trusting in Christ as a helpless sinner who can do no work to appease and satisfy God. Trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, works flows out of that. We want to keep the commandments. We fail. We sin. We're not perfect. But we want to. But we don't build our justification and our salvation on it. Our salvation and justification is built on Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our only hope. Faith alone, faith in him. Therefore, being justified by faith, Paul says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The law was our schoolmaster, he said to the Galatians, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law brings us to Christ. The law brings us to the Redeemer and says, here's the only one who can save you. Here's the only one who has the answer. The law brings us to the Savior. And what do? We trust in him. We trust in him. And so this faith is trust in Jesus Christ. It's belief of all the Bible says about him and trusting in him alone for salvation. Dependence upon Christ. Now, you have to say faith is not that righteousness. There are some heretical sects who teach that faith becomes the righteousness. It doesn't. Faith is not a work, and faith is not righteousness. Faith doesn't save us. It joins us to a Savior who has all the righteousness that we need. Our faith is not that righteousness. The righteousness is his. But it becomes ours by our union to Jesus Christ through trust and dependence upon him. And that's why the Bible says, how can I be saved? What must I do to be saved? And the answer always is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's what you have to do, sinner. And so you see, this is the answer. This is what the Reformation was all about. This is the great question of the Reformation, and the answer that it gave is the great basic of the Reformation. Grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, discovered from the Bible alone, and all to the glory of God alone. That's the heart of the Protestant Reformation.